Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone, 1 hour left on Warriors This Week here on 95.7 The Game. Trying to figure this thing out. For the 415, no, one of our favorites. The goal is to go to the playoffs and win a championship. You got to win it all. If you're not doing that, what are you doing? Well, I don't think that's happening this season. But if not that, then what? What is the goal? I think that's the question that the Warriors are going to try and answer. Well, they have to answer between now and February 6th when the trade deadline comes and goes, but also really what they're trying to figure out between now and the end of the season, because, yeah, I don't think this is a championship team.
So then who are they, I guess, is my question. And again, just taking in everything from this past week, ingesting all of it, to me, what it spits out and what it is that I get is that this team has no identity. Steph Curry from one night says that, hey, listen, we're not compromising the future. We're not going to be rash because there's no one player that's going to change things. And then he clarifies the next day by saying, look, don't misinterpret. I'm still a competitor, man. Nobody's waving the white flag. Mm-hmm. Well, then which lane are we in here? And again, I think it's because they have no identification at this point.
Well, to me, it's just... it's more philosophical than anything else, right? If you can't be a title team, there are a lot of people that subscribe to, well, you should just tank and try and kind of expedite the process that way. I don't think that's how the Warriors operate. I don't think that's the mindset of Joe Lacob. The goal is to try and be as competitive as you can every single year. Even if your team's not great, you want to maximize it. I also think it's hard to get someone like Curry and Draymond even to lean into like a 2020 type of season where we're just going to shut you down and we're going to try and lose as many games as possible and we're essentially waving the white flag as an organization. So, you know, they are kind of handicapped by the fact that they have these champions on their team and a champion as a head coach, because I don't believe that it's in their DNA.
You know, it seems like just about every show we get at least one or two callers where somebody will say, hey, the best way and the quickest way for the Warriors to get back, got to think about trading Steph. And we always dismiss it.
Yeah.
As well we should. Because it's not going to happen, nor should it happen. But if you were to really think about it, and maybe this is where you and I differ, that this is a rebuild, the best way for them to get back to where it is that they want to get to, and that is in the conversation of NBA championships again, Steph really is, at the end of the day, he's your only ace up the sleeve. He's your only... but the 63 mil per with a second apron makes things very, very difficult.
It does. I mean, also, the thing is, I mean, if we are going to go down that road, if you ever traded Steph, it would have to work. Like, you can't... You can't do that.
Well, there's no guarantees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And from that perspective, I don't think the Warriors would ever do it. But that's just me. Let's talk to Jimmy in Bayview. Apparently he's got the answer. Jimmy, what's going on? Good morning.
Hey guys, great show. Whitey would be very, very proud. So you guys are a good combo. So I think in these situations, we got to look at, you know, the next right move versus getting to the championship or this or that. And I think the next right move would be to have somebody come in like a 6'6 point guard. So that Curry could play shooting guard, you know. So 6'6 point guards don't exactly grow on trees, you know. But Zion would kind of fill that void, which is why it's very interesting, because he could run the offense and Curry could, you know, play a Clay sort of role, which is what I see him in. More, you know, at the end of his career than an actual creator, and somebody like that, you know, a super penetrator type, and obviously we need height because the shooter thing is just, as everybody's starting to see, kind of a waste of time. But hey, what do you guys think?
Well, I think Schroeder is, they got a lot of stopgap players. I think it was Austin who said this earlier in the show, and I completely agree. Where the Warriors are positioned well for the future is the fact that they're not financially tied to almost any of these guys except for Curry, Draymond, and Wiggins. They can get off Kuminga if they want. They can get off of Heald. They can get off of Slow-Mo.
Yeah,
GP2 is an expiring.
But I want to get off of Wiggins, Draymond Green.
Well, but you can only get off of them, I think, if you have players to bring in that are better.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, it's like, if you're getting rid of Draymond and Wiggins, you might as well just get rid of Curry. Like,
ooh.
Seriously. I mean, I don't think that Draymond's been that great this season, even when they were playing well. To me, he's been a bit overrated the last couple of years. Wiggins has been good this year. The game in Minnesota was like, where's that guy? But odds are he's probably going to disappear sometime in the next couple weeks. Not literally, but like just on the court. And that's kind of the story of it. I mean, to me, the brightest spot of this season, which sucks because he sprained his ankle, it's been Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, that hurts.
And
we haven't talked a lot about that, but that hurts.
It's also kind of indicative of where the Warriors are, that he's the brightest spot of their season, because we still don't really know what he is as a player.
If there was some way, just getting back to Zion Williamson, which I thought was just ludicrous a month ago, and the more I think about it, the Warriors are in a position where you got to take a risk here. And that's one I'd be willing to take. If there's somehow, and I New Orleans is a mess. It's an absolute mess, top to bottom. And I don't know what they would do with Draymond. Maybe they feel as though Draymond could be the policeman and put that house back in order. Maybe they'll want Wiggins. If they do, for whatever reason, because it's so chaotic and they want some stability, what would you do if Zion Williamson was on the table for those two? And it may not even take that much.
For Wiggins and Kuminga?
Yeah. You just lost me because you're pausing.
I actually don't know if I would do that.
Oh, God. I would pull that trigger yesterday.
Dan, he's played 60 games like once in his career. He's been hurt almost every year of his life.
Exactly. He's been hurt since high school, since grammar school. He's hurt his first game in the NBA.
He came out of the womb with a broken ankle. No, I don't know. But it's like, I understand, and that's why he's available. But there's no magic potion that I can give him that is all of a sudden going to guarantee me 70 games a year of elite Zion Williamson.
You're not buying the change of scenery. A new start.
That doesn't change his body.
Beginning.
Like, moving locale does not all of a sudden make you
skinny,
more in shape. It doesn't make you less than 295 pounds. it doesn't make you more less susceptible to injury. And I'd like to imagine New Orleans has a pretty good medical staff.
And I guess maybe this is a perfect example of why you and I differ a little bit when it comes to the future of the Golden State Warriors. I'm willing to take the risk because you're in a desperate situation. And I don't see a lot of value in Draymond Green going forward. I don't see, and I don't even at this late stage, I don't think you can sugar that trade because people can see that there's clearly warts on Draymond these days. They've waited too long. They should have pulled the trigger on Klay Thompson and Draymond Green before it got to this. Now, Klay Thompson obviously left, but he left as an unrestricted free agent. If they could have traded those two, and you just think what it is they could have gotten returned. But if Draymond and Andrew Wiggins, two guys, again, if I'm thinking about the future, that they're not part of it. Zion Williamson, if I hit with Zion and everything that you said is legitimate, but he played all last year, and I know that when this guy's on the floor, I've said this before, there are two guys who are unstoppable, three who are unstoppable in the history of this game, and I mean unstoppable even though you know where they're going. In the history of the NBA, three guys who are unstoppable in the paint. It's Giannis, it's Shaq, and yes, it's Zion Williamson. And if I can get that at age 24, at 24 years of age, now with Jonathan Kuminga.
But you're giving him up.
No. I said Andrew Wiggins.
You said Wiggins and Kuminga.
Did
Zion.
I say Kuminga?
Yeah.
Oh, Draymond.
Oh, well, yeah. If I could,
did I say Kuminga?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, no. Draymond Green.
If I can swap Draymond for Zion Williamson somehow, that is something that I would do. I just don't know why in hell New Orleans would want Draymond Green.
Yeah.
In fact...
Okay, my apologies.
Well, no. I think we are on the same page. If I'm going down the list of teams, what team... This question doesn't get asked much, and I don't know why. What team in the NBA wants Draymond Green not named the Golden State Warriors?
Well, that's where it gets a little interesting, because if I'm somebody that's looking to win this year... And I think Draymond is the defensive stopper. If Houston begins to if they're real and there's no indications as to why they're not the number two seed last time I checked, I don't know who it is, but if somebody feels as though we've just put our chips in the middle of the table, we need a veteran leader. And we're willing to compromise the future because we have an opportunity to win today. The window is open in 2025. If that scenario presents itself, maybe.
But if I don't think, like, Steph Curry on another team puts them over the top. He's someone that can catapult, like, say, if he was on the Knicks, I think we'd look at them as a legitimate threat to win the championship. If you put him on, I don't know, a host of teams, Houston maybe even, instead of Fred VanVleet, they're championship contenders. I don't think Draymond Green, if you just dropped him onto another squad, is the difference between them winning a title and not. And that's because of where he's at in his own career. That's why I think he's marooned in a way. Like that $4 for $100 million deal that he got from the Warriors is the last big check he'll ever get in the NBA.
Oh, there's no doubt. By the way, great stick by the 925 on the text line. Houston has their Draymond and Amen Thompson. You see this guy play? Him and his brother, what's his brother, Zur?
Asar, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, with Detroit.
Those guys, man, you talk about, they can't shoot worth a lick. High motors, though, man, those kids.
And all these jumpers in San Leandro? I think that's where they're from. They're local guys.
Yeah.
Philly's a perfect fit for Draymond. That's from the 510. Yeah, he'd fit right in with a bunch of aging and broken old superstars.
They can carpool. Paul George, Joel Embiid, and Draymond.
They can carpool. Yeah, one of them will probably get hurt on the way over. Oh, well, that's a guy. If you're interested in Zion, what if Embiid becomes available this summer?
No.
Why not Embiid?
No, because he's broken.
Zion's not?
No, Zion's 24.
But he's a broken 24.
Yeah, but I'm willing... Okay, they're both high risk.
Yes.
I'd rather risk Zion Williamson than I would Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is never going to be the same guy. That I know. His knees are shot.
I think if I'm going to risk one or the other, It would be Joel Embiid.
Okay.
Yeah, that
because again, I'm
that's
thinking,
someone that actually might be available this summer.
That see again.
Ooh.
Well, the problem is that this is why you and I are not on the same page. Is because if you're going to rebuild, you got to think young and risk in going younger. Miss with the younger player, not with the guy who's in his early 30s with bad knees that never reached his potential with good basketball teams in Philadelphia. You got to think about if when you're rebuilding, you're always investing, whether it's a draft pick or younger players. And that's why the Joel Embiids, the Paul George, the Lauri Markkanens are never a fit for the Golden State Warriors, who already have Draymond Green and Steph Curry. Go young man.
I hear you. Going young is, look, there's risk either way. And I guess I'm willing to risk it with more of a known commodity. But we can table that, because I actually do think that's a rumor you're going to hear this summer, is that Joel Embiid wants out of Philly. And I bet that the Golden State Warriors will be back in the rumor mill, as they are for...
Well, that would just prove to everybody they still don't understand. And is it time for the legal ID? Do I have to remind the Warriors as well?
Player. No, legal. We did the legal ID twice, all right? You can only do it within 5 minutes of the top of hour, you're done. Tim in North Carolina, however, is not. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get in the conversation. Dude, we're all over, man. I got peeps in North Carolina. Tim's one of them. Good morning. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I'm just sitting here listening to her coach, and I just you guys have been around about three, 4 years, maybe longer, but why do we continue to say we don't know what Jonathan Kuminga is when it's about a 40-game sample size? When he gets 30 minutes or more, he averages 21-6-5, and he affects winning all the way back in 2022 when Andrew Wiggins went out for the very first time. Like, he has always affected winning, and we continue to say we don't know what he is, like we don't see with our own eyes. I'm listening to you just now talk about Ashir Thompson, and this is what happens, right? We get fascinated with everybody else. I hear all of the fascination with Franz Wagner. Guys, do the math. When Kuminga plays 30 or more, his averages are the exact same, if not better. 21-6-4. But we always fascinated with what we don't have. And so I'm sitting here, I'm doing some work in the garage, and I'm listening, and I'm like, why do people always say they don't know what he is when they're not paying attention to what their own eyes are telling them? A 40-game sample size over a 3-year period of 30 minutes or more, 21-6-4, guys, I think we know what he is. We exactly know what he is when he gets 30 minutes of playing time. And this isn't just empty calorie stats. He's been affecting Wiggins go all the way back 2 years ago. I mean, affecting winning go all the way back 2 years ago when they got filled in for Wiggins. And don't give me the IQ nonsense, because some of the dumbest mistakes on this team that happened from the veterans. And they have been happening for a number of years. So we like to always throw the, we don't know what he is. He doesn't affect winning. Oh, he doesn't have IQ. When Steph Curry throwing a behind-the-back pass, no look, in the Game 7 of a finals has continued for decades, but Jonathan doesn't have IQ. God, stop it, please. All right, fellas, I appreciate you.
Thanks, Tim. Well, then maybe, I guess...
But we were in on keeping Kuminga, right?
Yeah, I think we both are. But he's right. I think we have an idea of what he is. I guess how I would... What I mean by it, Tim, is I don't think he's reached his potential. So from that standpoint, I don't know what the finished product is going to be. And if you're telling me those numbers are who he's going to be for the remainder of his career, 21-6-4, that's nice, but that's not a superstar caliber player, in my opinion. That's not a number one for a team that's a top four seed, which is what the Warriors are hoping that he can flourish into one day.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this, you have to put at the feet of Steve Kerr, because Kerr has mismanaged this guy. And I don't go after Curry. He doesn't have a lot of faults. But in this case, I think that if he could do it all over again over the last 2 years specifically, he should have been leaning in on Jonathan Kuminga a lot more. And playing him, not playing him, sitting him, playing him for 18 minutes, then having him play for 30 minutes, and then all of a sudden realizing in year four, oh, yeah, you are a guy that can get his buckets, and we do need you. I think that light should have gone on a lot sooner for Steve Kerr. So a lot of this has to do with Steve Kerr as to the reason why we haven't seen enough body of work to say, oh, this is who he is. I still think he's a work.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In progress. Now, you can interpret that as being, you know, a player that's a bit raw, but he is. And Franz Wagner, now, I don't think I never said that Thompson, the kid out in Detroit, is better than Jonathan Kuminga.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, he can't shoot. Neither one of those kids can shoot, but I do like his motor. I think defensively, like, both of those guys are just wired, man. Those guys go, they don't give up on anything. But so don't misinterpret. But Franz Wagner, for example, we know who he is because he went to a crappy team and played right from day one and is now in year 4, and he plays just about 75 to 80 games a year, logging 25 to 30 minutes a contest. And so we know it's much easier to pass judgment on the game of Franz Wagner than it is of one Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, but he also played 2 years at Michigan. He played. So there was more of a base. He started 55 Big Ten basketball games before he even got to the NBA. So Tim's right. Kuminga wasn't giving that opportunity. But it's also because I think there was more of an understanding of who Franz Wagner was as a player. Mm. You knew what you were getting when you drafted him. And I think that's why Kuminga has been somewhat of a question mark. It's because he didn't have a big G League resume. He doesn't have and hasn't been given a large NBA sample size. That's why I say I don't know what he is. Because he could be this 16-point-per-game player. He could be the 21-point-per-game player. He might also be able to evolve into a 25-point-per-game player. But to me, I don't necessarily believe that process would just be expedited and we would already know who he is if Curd played him. Because you have to learn how to... And I do reject a little bit that he was impacting winning basketball 2 years ago. He is raw. And I think they have moved him along at the pace that has gotten him to this point. And it sucks. It legitimately makes me mad that he got hurt right when he did. Because I believe that he was emerging in concert with being empowered, probably because they needed him. But he was beginning to turn a corner into that player that I think, more importantly than Kerr, it's the guys on the court that have to also believe that he is the number one or that he is the player that they can rely on. I don't know if he had the trust of Curry and Draymond the last couple of years, but it appeared that this season, and they've talked about it, that he does now have that. And so whenever he returns, which it looks like it's going to be right before the deadline or maybe around it in the beginning of February, I hope that that doesn't revert. Like, then when he comes back, they get him back into the lineup. He's playing 30 minutes a night, and those players trust him to make the plays that he knows he's capable of, even if it involves making mistakes.
Well, it makes it a lot easier if you're a head coach, especially if it's Steve Kerr and you have the relationship with your best players, Steph and Draymond, is investing in the player. And, well, not 2 years ago, but last year. Remember last year when he publicly or his minions publicly complained about his playing time? And I, quite frankly, thought that they were right. Every time he was playing, he was balling out, and all of a sudden he'd get DMP'd, and he's sitting on the end of the bench. And then they leaned into him, and he had those, what was it, the 20 consecutive games or 20 or more points? And then this has sort of continued over to this year, where he was inserted into the starting lineup, and then all of a sudden he's taken out of the starting lineup, and he goes from 15 minutes a game to 30 minutes a game. It's been a back and forth with Steve Kerr. And listen, to Kerr's defense, we don't know what's happening behind the curtain as far as the relationship between the two or practice or what have you. But certainly to the casual observer and watching the Warriors play and Jonathan Kuminga, that Steve Kerr won't commit to this guy like he will Brandon Podziemski. And I do think that there's something to that, that he's willing to give consistent run to certain players, but when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga, only of late when you can clearly see that there's potential for a team that clearly needs to score the basketball, there's only one other guy, or maybe two other guys aside from Steph Curry that can do it with any regularity, and one of them is Jonathan Kuminga, but for whatever reason, for the last 2 years, he goes in and out of this doghouse of Steve Kerr's, and it's a little head scratch.
Well, I'll tell you why on the other side, why I think he's been in the doghouse. And this one, I promise I'll pay off because we only got a half hour. But again, there's one player that I think is in his way, and it might not be who you think it is. Dan Devone, Evan Giddings on Warriors This Week. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get into the conversation. I do want to wrap up with Kuminga. And again, if you have any goals that you think the Warriors should be striving for, if it's to tank, if it's to swing big, if it's to add around the edges, what do you want to see from the Warriors as they prepare to also welcome Jordan Poole back, who I know Dan really loves. We'll get into that and more on the other side.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, one final segment. Dan Devone, Evan Giddings, Pasta, a.k.a. Steven Rizzotto with us, as always, trying to solve the Golden State Warriors who play the Washington Wizards tonight. You looking forward to seeing Jordan Poole, Dan?
I am. Look, I got nothing against Jordan Poole. He's a hell of a player.
Yay!
He gets a bad rap. I think you'd agree.
What's the bad rap?
Well, it's almost like it was his fault for the way that the things ended with the Warriors. I'm trying to prod you.
I just don't think he's just a guy that sort of pushes buttons. Not mine. I just think he rubs people the wrong way, and I'm talking about teammates. Could be wrong. I just think he's that dude. You know, there's certain people that you're just like, eh.
Gets under your skin.
Like, I'd like to punch that guy.
Well,
and you shouldn't.
That's ironic.
Yeah. Nor keep your hands in your pockets. Don't show hands, but again, you know, I understand.
Yeah.
Draymond, I understand. I don't defend Draymond a lot, but I
oh, my God.
You better be careful.
You better be careful. No, look, it's I can't dismiss the contributions that he made to the championship team. I just I wish it was able to end a little bit differently. But to me, it was funny. Like,
but wait, can we just back up? Because I think there's I don't agree necessarily with the narrative that it's sort of just this accepted belief that he moved on from the Warriors because of the Draymond Green situation with him on the same team was unsalvageable. And that's the reason why he left the Warriors.
You don't think their relationship was unsalvageable?
No, I don't think that's why he left the Warriors. It's not because of Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. It's because Jordan Poole had no longer played himself into favor of management. And if the Draymond Green thing never happened, I think he would have been shipped out of town just as quickly.
I disagree with that. And look, we'll never know how he would have played or wouldn't have played. But I do think that they had to make a choice. And this guy, which brings me back to my tease from the previous segment, is the reason why someone like Poole is gone. I also think he's the reason why Kuminga hasn't had the runway. And we blamed Kerr for this, but it's because Draymond's been in his way.
I think he stumped the growth of Weissman back in the day. Not that that growth was going anywhere, but you remember it was a little contentious between those two his rookie year?
Yeah, he wanted more from him, and Weissman was a 19-year-old who played like 3 college games. Again, I think we put too much on how quickly we can get these guys to being finished products. It takes time. And Kuminga hasn't been afforded time just to use him. Because the position that he plays or the style that he plays, it's kind of blocked by Draymond. Now, the Warriors have benefited from that for a long time, and he helped them, you know, win a lot. But it's like, I am to the point where, to me, the choice they have to make is between those two players. If they're going to extend Kuminga, I do think we need to seriously consider Draymond Green as someone who comes off the bench.
Or trade him.
Well, I don't know how you're going to trade him. I mean, yeah, but...
So he has no market value?
Well, not for what he brings you. Like, he's still... Like, Draymond Green's not a bad basketball player.
I bet you, if you packaged him with Wiggins, you could get something in return.
Well, like LaVine?
You can't... I told you, you can't get LaVine anymore. You'd love to have LaVine. He's not for sale.
I think you could get LaVine.
That's not enough.
He has $150 million left on his contract.
Yeah, but that's not enough for the... The Bulls will get better offers than Wiggins and an old Draymond.
Well, trading your two best, arguably your two best defensive players, I don't know how that makes you any better.
Well, you get younger
25.
With LaVine, and
you know quietly he's in like year 11.
Is he?
Yeah,
he's still not 30.
Well, Wiggins is in year 13. And he's like 31.
He's 29 or 30 this year, I think.
But LaVine came into the league as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, he's 30. LaVine's having a really big season.
Yeah, and the Bulls have done what? They're worse than the Warriors.
No, I'm just saying.
Talking about a bad basketball team.
But don't put it on Zach LaVine.
Oh, my. Yeah, he's in year 11. Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow. How time flies. Yeah, he's averaging 24 points a game on 51% shooting and 46% from three.
Hey, who's your starting lineup for the West in the All-Star game? By the way, I'm asking you as a favor on the air, just get me into a party. Just get me into one of these NBA All-Star
game parties. I will do my damnedest, Dan.
Not an event.
I'll wear the suit and tie. Yeah, how about this? You and I can go talk to a bunch of Twitch streamers that are going to play in the celebrity game because that's all they invite now. I don't even know these people.
I'm sure you can. It's the All-Star game. It's the Warriors. You're dialed into this.
Well, sure.
If this was the Super Bowl and it was Lee Steinberg, I would take you to that afternoon party. I used to go to that thing. I used to go to the Super Bowl was my thing every single year. And I knew Lee Steinberg. You know Lee Steinberg, they got to do a 30 for 30 on him. They got to do some sort of documentary. He was...
Isn't he the guy that they based...
Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire off of.
Yes. He was Tom Cruise. He was the guy back in the day. He was Rosenhaus. He was Drew Rosenhaus. He was, you know, football's version of Scott Boris. Mm-hmm. He got everybody. And then he had an addiction problem. And he's from here. He went to law school at Cal. He lived up in the Berkeley Hills. That's where he had his offices for years. He and his partner, Dennis Morad. And I know this because when he was at his low point, I was in charge, along with Jim Moore, putting together this board of directors for the first business startup I got into that had to deal with concussions. And I remember I had to call him and let him know that, we got to go in another direction. Because we were a startup, and the last thing you want to do is to bring a guy who's bringing baggage. And he was associated with some, as I mentioned, some addictive problems. And now, when you just thought it was over with, I went to his party in Dallas for his Super Bowl, and he marked it as the comeback of Lee Steinberg. I'm like, whatever, man, you're washed up, you got nobody. And what did he go out and do? He gets Patrick Mahomes. You talk about the reclamation project. He gets probably the most popular athlete on the planet who he's representing to this day. And you talk about his charting his course. That, my friends, is a documentary that's waiting to be discovered.
And that's the kind of comeback that the Warriors are capable of, Dan. You have to think about, just because you don't have your fastball at the velocity you used to doesn't mean you can't figure out how to reinvent yourselves. That's what we're trying to figure out. How can they reinvent themselves? Okay, that's where we're trying to turn water into wine.
I think that the best thing for the Golden State Warriors is to get into a lottery.
That stink.
Get some really good, I'm talking single-digit drafts.
But you want LaVine and Zion.
No, I don't want LaVine. I do want Zion. I would take a roller on Zion, but I'm not giving up Kuminga. I'm not giving up draft picks, and I'm not giving up anything that I would consider an asset. If you want Draymond, and if you want to just wash your hands of Zion Williamson, I'm willing to listen. But you got to take something. You got to take my discarded trash.
One's giving you a diamond in the rough for discarded trash.
But he's no longer a diamond in the rough.
Trades are hard. They're hard because no one is willing to give up what they covet or like for something in return. You got to give something to get something.
The Warriors don't. Well, that's why this is so difficult, and that's why they waited too long. Don't see this as a quick fix. I'm trying to think, and you never know, because things will present themselves that we can't anticipate right now from where we sit. But as of right now, this is really bleak, and I hate to go there, man. I'm doing the pre- and post-game show tonight. I can go Warriors.
Here's a preview.
I think that it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Well, that's typically how dynasties go, but a lot worse. I think the goal is trying to mitigate how bad it can get. And I'll tell you what, if you try to suck, if you look to just tank, then things can get very
bad. No one's trying to tank. This is just not a good basketball team playing at its very best.
Well, but it feels like a lot of people want them to tank because of your point. They're not a very good basketball team, so you might as well just lean into losing.
Well, what does that mean these days? How do you do that?
You shut down Steph.
Okay.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen.
I agree, which is just one of the reasons they don't have a direction. Let's talk to Earl in San Francisco. 888-957-9570 if you want to get any last calls or texts in here on Warriors This Week with Evan and Dan. Earl, my man, good morning. How are you?
Greetings, my brothers. Good topic today. I'm enjoying listening to the show. I usually call on during the week, the 10 to 2 show, and I've been barred from that show because I called in 22 after the championship and suggested that the Warriors trade Poole, not for Paul, but for Porzingis. And they laughed at me and flushed me and barred me from the show. So and then Porzingis won a ring a year later. So now I'm calling to tell you that the Warriors need Draymond Green because they have no other enforcer. They haven't had an enforcer since West. And the great Red Auerbach said that you cannot win or be consistent without an enforcer. That's why he went from Jungle Jim Luskatov to Zach Sanders.
Oh, my God.
These were important, and the Warriors need this. Now, Kuminga is a lower-tier Giannis, and his basketball prowess is spectacular, but his basketball IQ is low. He's a downhill player like Giannis. I say the Warriors should trade him and Wiggins immediately to Memphis for Jay Jackson Jr. I've been advocating for that all year.
Definitely.
And so next question to you as I part is, what do you think is the best trade for the Warriors right now? And if they can't find a trade, I suggest that they send Steph to a contender, because they owe it to Steph to send him to a contender like the Lakers. Thank you, gentlemen.
Absolutely incredible.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. Number one, there was a dude named Jungle Jim Loskatov.
Yeah, he's talking the 60s.
Dude, I just looked him up. He's a seven-time champ. Yeah. I didn't know about this guy.
What years, though?
In 57 to 64. Came right after the Korean War. He's from Palo Alto, by the way. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either. Went to Oregon. So, his question, though. What's the best trade for the Warriors? I'll let you go first before
I don't know what
bring
the best
party
trade.
Down.
He lost me a lot. I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr., you're not getting... Jaren Jackson Jr. could be an all-star this year. The dude is...
Yeah, he's really good. Solid.
I don't know where to go with any of that. What's the best trade for the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's more than one. And you're limited because you just don't have a lot of trade assets.
Which is why the best trade for the Warriors
is no trade at all.
God. It's no trade at all.
No, I'm with you. That's
There's
fine.
Nothing that you can do to prevent where this season is headed. And we have varying opinions on where it's headed, but I don't think that there's a trade out there that is going to drastically change the course.
Yeah, and you and I are on the same page.
Shedding weight, to me, is not an option for Lakin, for Dunleavy, for Curry, for Kerr, for Draymond, for whoever you think is pulling the strings. So, unfortunately, they're in the same place they were last year for different reasons, which is they don't want to cash their chips in for a role player. I agree with that. They're not going to sell at the deadline. Number one, because that's not who they are. Also, don't think there's not much to sell unless you wanted to get rid of Kuminga because you don't want to pay him. I think they do. And so the course that they have charted is to just try and wade through these stormy waters. Like, that's really, that's the course they're on.
What if, again, I've never once have I mentioned trading Jonathan Kuminga or any of their assets when you're talking about their younger assets. I'm not in favor of that. I think we're both, I've been saying that, not even this show, but going back in the day, that this is a team that's not a player or two away. So mortgaging the future is ridiculous. I do question, though, sometimes about what that future exactly is, just how good is the younger players in Podziemski and Trayce Jackson Davis and Moses Moody and company. But again, if it's Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins, and somebody is going to give me a younger basketball player that has upside, I'm listening. Would that fall under the heading of what it is that you're describing of this team making a trade, an ill-advised trade before the deadline?
An ill-advised trade? No. But that's why I think that there's not enough out there, at least from what I've seen. And, like, you know, we'll see.
Wait, can we go back to Andrew Wiggins? Because I'm, for whatever reason, I said Jonathan Kuminga. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Man, I'm still dealing with jet lag.
Sure.
Again, if it's Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins for Zion Williamson, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing that because you're also, you're hitching your wagon to a talent, but you're also, again, in my mind, and it, I don't want it to sound like I don't like the guy because I recognize what he's done for the organization. But in many ways, the root of the situation that they're in is because of Draymond Green. I think it's because he's preventing them at that particular position from allowing Kuminga to just become whoever he's going to become, whether you think he's good or bad. I think that...
And how is he doing that exactly?
Because he plays the same position.
And I thought it was Andrew Wiggins that was more in his way.
Well, he's in his way because there's not enough room on the court when Draymond is also on it.
So you can't play Draymond.
Draymond has to play the five. But Draymond doesn't want to play the five because he's not physically capable of playing the five. And that's the only way that Wiggins and Kuminga, along with other shooting,
But if you start Trace Jackson Davis and slide him to the four, and now Kuminga's your three.
Yeah, and as we've seen, that's troublesome because Kuminga's not a great three-point shooter. Neither is Draymond. So you have, at most, two shooters together. And the only way I think that that works is if someone like Buddy Hield plays alongside Steph. Have you come back down to earth with Buddy Hield?
We're not going Chavano today.
Chavano. Hey, he wasn't Chavano in Minnesota. Did you know, by the way, that when the Warriors get 18 or more points from Buddy Hield, they're 10-0?
Oh, God. So out on that guy.
But what? You love Chavano. He's
That's really, you know,
badass Bahamian.
When you think about the Golden State Warriors and you're throwing around names like Buddy Hield and even in Schroeder and Trace Jackson Davis and all these, it's like, I mean, what do you expect? These aren't frontline players. These aren't stars. It's not like the Warriors are underachieving. It's like, no. You have somehow gone from a team that had the greatest backcourt in the history of the game in terms of shooting the ball, Kevin Durant, you know, the greatest starting lineup arguably, to now like you're being reliant on Buddy Hield and Dennis Schroeder and players of this ilk to go along with an old Steph Curry and an old Draymond Green, which is why it's only going to get worse for this team, because it's just, I look at it and no matter how many times I toss this thing in the air and spin it around, it still spits out an inferior team top to bottom when it comes to talent matching up against the best that the West has to offer. Or not even the best, the teams that they're trying to walk down. I would take
the other teams that are in the middle.
I would take
play-in.
Phoenix's roster over the Warriors.
Whoa.
That's saying a lot. I know, but
you take their best players.
Well, Grayson Allen. We don't have a Grayson Allen.
Well, he hasn't been playing much. He's hurt. But
well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I got you. Like their potential is higher than the Warriors. Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you there. Let's talk to Chucky D. Wrap up the show with Chucky D. What's going on, Chuck? How we doing? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Listen to your show all the time.
Thank you.
You're right about the Phoenix Suns having a better roster than the Warriors. And you know what? They just got better. They picked up Nick Richardson.
Yeah, good call.
From Charlotte. A big 7-footer, physical, dominant postman who would definitely help the Warriors. What is wrong with us? Why we can't find a big guy? Are we not looking for a big guy? You know, it just, I don't know how, this whole thing, we can't do this, we can't do whatever. Other people making fantastic trades. They just got Nick Richardson, and they give up some second-round picks. And a 27-year-old that could last up for who knows long. I mean, what's going on with us? You know, that's what I have.
Thanks, Chuck. Well, I wouldn't talk to Dan about that, because your favorite player on the team is a big man, and he just had 15 rebounds in Minnesota.
Well, he's good, but he can use another big.
Well, you got Kevon Looney.
What's our definition of big? We've been with the Warriors for so long that 6'9" is considered big.
Bigger than us. No,
how about a legitimate 6'11"?
All right, let's be
7-footer.
What do you know,
Zach Edey?
Oh, God, don't get me started on him.
Are you willing?
No.
You don't think Zach Edey is
not
a good basketball
player? He's a stiff.
Wow.
Their best big is Jay Huff. Told you that. I'm going to stick to it.
No, it's that other kid. How do you say it?
Santi. Aldama? Well, he doesn't play, like, the center position. By the way, okay, what do you know about Nick Richards? Like, with all due respect.
No, but they did get... He has some upside. He's not a game changer.
He's tall.
He's, but they
he's
were,
better
but
than they, Yusuf Nurkic.
No,
he's
I guess
not saying a lot.
The point being is that they needed a big. And so they went out and they were active. They were aggressive. Now, again, who knows what it is that he does going forward. But I think to the caller's point is that they address their needs when it comes to a big. How long have we done shows talking about the Golden State Warriors are undersized and they just need somebody who can rim protect year after year? We went through a trade deadline last year that saw PJ Washington and Gafford sitting there, two bigs that the Warriors could have used. Now, I know that they didn't fit in with the Golden State Warriors scheme, but I think to the caller's point, it's that the Warriors, you know, they sit on their hands as opposed to someone like Phoenix that addresses their needs.
They made a trade. They traded for Dennis Schroeder.
Oh, come on.
Well, you're acting like Nick Richards is going to take the Phoenix Suns into title contention.
No, my point is...
By the way, he's 27 years old. Like, it's not... He's not a spring chicken. They didn't just trade for the diamond in the rough that everybody's looking for. He plays 21 minutes a game for a team that is god-awful.
Yeah, Phoenix is a mess.
Well, I was talking about Charlotte, but them too. Yeah, Phoenix can't win a basketball game. Finish us out, Brian in Hayward wants to talk about the deadline. What's up, B?
What's going on, guys? So I have been a Warriors fan a very long time. As most callers can remember, in the dark days in the early 2000s, most Bay Area fans refer to that as the Kobe and Shaq days. So when I reflect back on the trade deadline, when we are sitting here with, you know, Monte Ellis, Larry Hughes, Daniel Marshall, and Antoine Jamison on our squad, and I'm thinking to myself, can we get rid of all three of them and just get Kobe and Shaq? But at this point in time, I feel like we're the ones with assets, and we don't feel like it because we have such high expectations every year. You know, we've had four rings in, 10 years? So when we look at that, everybody in the Bay Area is upset that we're not making moves. I mean, the Schroeder move wasn't really a move. It was to keep us from collapsing because we had such high hopes for Melton. I know everybody who knows basketball knows that was a big blow. Some of the more casual fans, especially some of the more casual Warriors fans, have no idea how much help he would have been had he been healthy. And whatever they did to pull off getting Schroeder here, I mean, I can't think of a better Band-Aid in terms of what we were setting up to do with Melton in the backcourt after losing Clay and getting a shooter like Buddy Hield, who loved the guy, man, for the first 15 games, but everybody knows he's not consistent. Shooters like that are not consistent, and he needs to come off the bench and, like the microwave, get a couple points up and then go away, because the more shots a guy like that takes, the more he hurts your team. Similar to Clay, I do not think in any way, shape, or form we should give up on our Draymond, Steph, Steve Kerr core. I think we can make some moves.
Nope, sorry, lost him there. Well, kind of like the Warriors, just cut out. But you can, of course, hear later on today Dan DeVone bring you into Warriors Live, and then the Washington Wizards get underway with Tim Roy, as always, on the call.
5:30 tip. We got you at 4:30.
Yes, sir. Dan DeVone, my man, as always, appreciate you having, I was going to say having us back, and that's not really the way to end this thing. But, Dan, I appreciate you being with us again
today. You got to be in Santa Clara in like 20 minutes.
No, I really got to get on the road, so I'm going to end it here. Thank you, everybody, for listening and chiming in, joining the conversation on Warriors this week. Big thank you to Stephen Rizzotto. Big Pasta is always behind the glass holding us down. Big thank you to my broadcast partner, Dan DeVone. My name is Evan Giddings, saying so long. We'll talk to you in that same place, same time, next Saturday, 9 to noon, 95.7 The Game.